is the Lifted Life podcast. We created this show to help you live a lifted life. Let's do it.
Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 11, Creative Living.
You know that's right. Today we are talking about one of my favorite topics, and I'm trying hard to stay calm and not get a little bit of nerves because it turns out when we talk about my favorite things, I just get a little bit restless, a little nervous because I want to do the subject justice. So as we mentioned in our last episode, haven't listened yet, go back and check that out. We were talking about words of the year and intentions and New Year's and all that stuff, which by the way, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2019. May you only write 2018 a couple of times before you realize you've written the wrong year. I actually did that last year. It was January 1st and I did like a new post New Year in my journal and I took a picture of it and shared it on Instagram stories, I think. And truly, I wrote January 1, 2017, a whole year off.
Did all the time we wrote checks, but we don't really write checks anymore.
Not writing too many checks anymore. Anyway, so Happy New Year. Welcome to the new year. We are hoping it's an amazing new year for you to live a lifted life. We talked about it in our last episode. And at the end of the episode, we started kind of riffing on creativity and creative living and creative self-expression. And we decided we would just piggyback on that. It's an amazing time to talk about creativity and a new way of looking at creative living because it is January 1st of a brand new year. So
I think maybe when we start, like what I was talking about in the last episode is, for me, traditionally creativity is actually physically making something, as far as painting a picture, making a piece of art. That's how I would define creating. But I think in the last episode, we kind of talked about there are other, well, you're always creating there, and there's other things outside of art.
Right. And I think it's okay to think of that as the main form of creativity or like the original or whatever. But really what we're trying to say is when you shift your perspective and see that each day you are creating your life, each day you are creating the story and the beliefs that make up your life. And when you see it as such, when you see that you're an active participant, then you become more creative in your day-to-day life. You can create a life that lights you up and that makes you excited simply by the awareness and the storytelling, which is all so creative. So for me, I've forever known that creativity is so much more than just art class. It's so much more than just one subject. It's all the subjects combined. It's your favorite thing to do and the personality that you bring to it. So to me, creativity is personal expression, and that can come out in pretty much anything we do. So whether you're interested in programming like you are, or if you're interested in baking or writing or anything that's, you know, maybe more standard creative or less thought of as creative, how you show up and how you do it is your personal creative expression of self.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about all these creations. Like, I know you often are proud of creating two children.
You're not?
No, you seem to take like most of the credit.
Like, I grew them.
You physically grew them. That's what I meant. Of course, I'm proud of my children. But I feel like I don't get 50% of the credit sometimes.
Oh my gosh, here we go, you guys. were you saying? What's your point, Tim?
I'm just thinking through my head of all these, you know, yes, I like to program. That's probably one of my more favorite things that I do. I never thought of it as a creation until you said that. So I'm kind of going through my head thinking about, yeah, everything is a creation. Yes, we create our own lives. We create everything. We create meaning to everything. Just kind of going through my head of all the creations, and it's kind of strange to think of it that way.
To me, it's the most empowering way to look at it, though. Like, it's the most exciting way, because when you see that you're the author of your life story and this is your canvas and all those other silly metaphors, then suddenly you're back in the driver's seat. Like, you're not just, like I said in the last episode, a victim to circumstance. Things will happen, but what you make them mean, how you decide to show up, what you decide to do about it and with it and for it and to it, that's all the creative juice of being a human, you know, on this big blue spinning ball called planet Earth.
Yeah, I just keep thinking about, I'll put it in the show notes, but Blondish is the band. I guess they're a band, but they have like a song. I guess it's a song.
What are you talking about?
Gibberish. But it's basically a guy speaking about some professor, it sounds like speaking, but they have music in the background. And one of the lines is, most people feel alone in the world that they never made. And I think that's probably true. I think some people feel like things are happening to them.
Right.
That they're not creating them. And then his point in this is that you are the creator and you are creating these, whether, and if you don't like them, the sad part is you're creating that.
It reminds me of one of my favorite quotes, which is, you are not a drop in the ocean. You are the entire ocean in a drop. And I think that's Rumi. But yeah, so much of it is just perspective and the stories we tell. And if you're not happy with the current situation, understand that, yes, you can change it. But also the quickest way to change it is to change the story you're telling about it. And not only will that help to create a ripple effect of true circumstantial change, but it also creates an immediate change in the way you experience your life. So did you write down that so you can share?
I wrote that down, but then I realized that I've probably brought this up in the last, I don't know how many episodes.
What?
What I just said about how we're the creator. And I think it's because it's something I'm struggling with and it's something I want to master. And it's in my awareness all the time. And I haven't mastered it to my satisfactory yet.
But I think that so much of this is like we practice old habits, things that were handed to us from childhood, and we slowly decide what we want to believe and what we want to think on purpose. And the only way to create that new habit of being is to talk about it, practice it, you know, bring it up and
be aware of it, keep it.
Yeah.
And
I think that, and like I said in the last episode, like we teach the things that we want to learn and that we need to be reminded of. And so, you know, just because we're talking about something here doesn't mean that we have mastered it. It's more about, this is important. We can see the benefit this would add. We could see how mastering this or practicing it would be useful. So I don't know. I don't think anything about it. My goal is never that it's like, we're like, look, we've got this. I don't think anybody's like, yeah, these are the gurus who've got it all figured out.
I sure hope not.
But we are, you know, on this journey and, you know, hopefully some of the things that we've learned we can share.
And it's interactive, right? I mean, we're sitting here talking about this, but it's interactive. If anyone listening is more than welcome to reach out and give their take on it or their opinion.
And I would love to, yeah, open up that dialogue either on our Facebook page or in the Lifted Life group. So, all right, well, let's go back a little bit more to creativity and ways to incorporate. Okay, so we were saying that it doesn't have to be these traditional means of creative expression, you know, painting, writing, drawing, dancing, baking. I mean, some of these things, pottery, knitting, these are all more traditional. It can be incorporating those into your life. And I think when we had our episode about having fun again, we talked about creativity because that's one way that a lot of people do experience more fun in their lives. But it's also about just identifying, just like with fun, identifying what's fun for you, identifying which creative outlets make you feel like you. And then I think it's also about weaving in expression in the day-to-day things you do. It reminds me of the quote I say all the time to my kids, especially my son who needs to hear it. It's not what we do, it's how we do it. And I think that when it comes to creative living and creative self-expression, it's so much about that. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. It's what you can bring to the experience, to the circumstance that really changes it and makes it yours. So another way that kind of comes up for me is in what the clothes I choose to wear. So this might be more pertinent for women than men, but not really. I think I've seen you just kind of evolve with your style as far as, oh, I kind of am tired of wearing these sorts of things. I'd like to wear different things. And for me, for sure, I feel like when I have on clothes that express how I feel, I just feel better. I feel more in tune and awake and more likely to be able to, you know, create things and connect with people because it's in alignment. Like when I wear things that are either boring or sloppy or whatever, I just have a harder time getting in the flow. So to me, one way to express yourself creatively is simply the clothes you put on.
I think it's interesting because when I think about clothing, I think about judgment and people, like in high school, what you wore, people judge if it's name brand or non-name brand. So I can see where what you're saying is you should feel open about what you're wearing, and it is a creative reflection of you, but
I think it's fascinating that your mind went there with clothes, isn't it? Like, I'm sure there's, I mean, I'm glad you said it though, because if you're thinking it, then other people are too. But can I just say that's not at all what comes to mind. And I'm sure there were people in my grade that were in high school that were more concerned with that, but that just never has been. For me, it's all about like, I feel this way. Do my clothes, you know, represent that? Like,
well, I guess that's where I was going is I think some people might say, well, I'd wear that, but I don't want to be judged. And I think it's better just to wear what you want to wear, what you feel good, and not worry about the judgment.
Yeah. They would wear what if they weren't judged? Sorry, I don't know what you mean.
I don't know. Maybe there's something that someone's comfortable.
Like something flamboyant or something? Yeah. Or what do you mean?
Like, I don't know. I can't think of an example.
Oh, like a trench coat.
Yeah, like a trench coat.
That looks BA. I wish I could wear a trench coat and look cool, Matrix style, but I'll be judged and I don't, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Something like that.
So I just have to say, like, I know we all have our battles, like, but for me, it's never been, what are other people thinking about me?
Yeah, but for a lot of people, it is.
I know. And I'm just saying it's good to bring this topic up because it's hopefully useful to have someone that says, look, I care about a lot of things. I let a lot of dumb things ruin my day, but this ain't one of them.
Like me, I love wearing a mesh sleeve cut off shirt. I wear that all the time, but I wouldn't wear that in public. But that's my most creative self is when I wear cut off shirts and jorts.
You're a liar. So a lot of times I call you Tim, and I just think it's really important that we just pause the show and share that I don't call you Tim. I call you Timmy because I met you as Timmy. And when you meet someone as something, that's what they become to you. Mm-hmm. And so every once in a while I call you Tim on the show because that's what you have it, like your name as Sylvia and Tim Hall. Mm-hmm. But that's just not what I call you. So I'm living a lie and it feels inauthentic and not like my creative true self to call you Tim.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
So anyway, if you ever hear me call him Timmy, it's because that's what I call him. That's the truth. And he doesn't wear jorts or mesh tank tops.
But if you like to wear those, you should.
You should.
That was my whole point is some people may feel most creative in a certain style, but they're worried about wearing it. And I would say they should wear it.
Right, because it's a step in the right direction of caring less about what other people think, stepping into your true self and, you know, expressing yourself creatively through the clothes you wear.
Correct.
All right, so obviously the clothes you wear is just one way to live creatively. I think it's also about bringing creative expression to your work. So let's say you're like, but Sylvia, I'm an accountant, and there's not a lot of room for creative flexibility. Mm-hmm. I would still say that how you show up in your accounting role is what makes you you. So you might be a numbers person, very logical, very, you know, black and white, serious, right, wrong, whatever, but maybe you play the ukulele and maybe during
in your Excel document, you want to add a little color.
Right.
Make that
Roy G. Biv that.
Make that cell a little gray.
Right. That's creative flair.
It sure is.
And that to me, I know it sounds like we're being silly, but it's not. It's absolutely you showing up as you. You doing something that feels good to you. And I think that's all about that creative expression and alignment, like I was talking about, that when I wear something that really feels, you know, has a little bit of eclectic creativity to it, maybe. So this is a little fun backstory that you may or may not know. Before I went through my life coach training, I set up a business called Sylvia C Styling, and I did wardrobe consulting. And I did that because I knew I wanted to do the coaching thing, but I wasn't sure which coach school training I wanted to go through. And so I wanted to buy myself some time, but start to build the business because I am an action taker. I never like to use any sort of excuse like, oh, I don't have any training. So I just go for things like rah, running straight into the fire. That's just my style. So if you're an overthinker and you don't run into the fire, hang out with me a little bit and we'll start running into some fires together. So anyway, so that experience of doing the wardrobe consulting really did help me to kind of get in touch with personal confidence and helping people who maybe wanted to feel more confident. And our clothes are just, it's just a gateway to bigger and better things. It's more about how we see ourselves and how we value ourselves and how we show up. you know, I'm sure you've heard the saying, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. And I would say even dress for the life you want, not the life you have. But either way, show up the way you want to create things, not just the way you think it is, because that's really how you start to act as if and create more of what you want. And this is all very creative. This takes a level of imagination and role-playing that I think some people maybe struggle with. What say you?
I was thinking about how you were saying that kind of that those dress for the job you want. And recently I heard someone, you know, usually you say you don't want a lack mindset. And I heard someone say, but no one's created something from what they've already had. It's always created from lack. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have something, you create it because you don't have it. If you already had it, you wouldn't create it. Mm-hmm. So I think that.
But I think you have to have the energy of having it to create it. So you have to be able to imagine what it's like to have it.
Yeah.
At some extent. Yeah. And so I think just saying, well, you have to not have it to have it isn't accurate. You have to not have it and imagine having it.
No, I was just thinking about someone, you're saying, you know, dress for the job that you want. And someone's like, yeah, but that's, you don't have it, but it's kind of, you're setting yourself up for, not for failure, but you're wanting something you don't have, but you kind of have to create it.
Right. But do you see the missing piece though? I think a lot of people would stop there and I would say, yes, it's fine to recognize you don't have it yet, but you have to be able to imagine, feel ahead of time, the feeling of the life you want, of the job you want, of the business you want. If you can't experience the feeling ahead of time, then you either won't be able to create it or it will take you a long, long time because you're trying to just check things off a to-do list rather than use the power of, you know, subconscious persuasion, if you will, which is all very creative.
Right.
Right. Okay. So where were we? We've talked about what you wear. We've talked about bringing creative flair to the everyday task. For me, that might be even, like if I'm doing dishes or some other household thing, typically I like to let Tim here do the dishes. I'm more of a laundry gal myself, divide and conquer. So anyway, if I'm doing one of these tasks, I've found that listening to podcasts or music is, you know, a definite way to help get the job done faster. I'm less likely to get distracted. I'm more likely to get the task done. That's bringing creative flair to the task. So the reason it's creative is because it's not just any music, it's music that inspires me. It's not just any podcast, it's a podcast that inspires me. And the mood I'm in is going to, you know, vary, and the podcast I choose will vary. So like if I'm in a more creative mood, then I listen to one of my more artistic podcasts. But if I'm in the mood to get inspired for business, I'll listen to a business podcast. So I think there's so many little ways that we bring our own creative flair to our life. And it's more about waking up to that and asking yourself a powerful question, like, how can I bring more creative expression into my day?
I was thinking, you know, you talking about me doing dishes, and there's nothing creative in doing dishes, but I think there is. Mm-hmm. I often take loading the dishwasher like Tetris, and you have to maximize all the dishes in the right order and the exact orientation to get every dish in there.
And that will involve rearranging other people's dish strategy.
Of course. I always redo all the dishes. But I guess there is some creativity in that. And yes, I do like to listen to music while I do that. So,
right. And I think even, so Steve Chandler is one of my role model mentors, and he talks about bringing so much presence to a task that you can't help but just be giddy with joy. So he talks about taking out the trash and how it was something he hated to do until he decided he didn't want to hate it anymore. He wanted to love it. And so he would just get so excited because he was like, it's time to take out the trash. This is my thing. Mm-hmm. And he changed the story about it. And he literally made it his favorite. He would be like whistling and singing. And his wife's like, what is going on? He's like, it's trash time, baby.
It's trash day.
Yeah. And so like, it's just so funny. And you can bring that presence to anything. And I think that's kind of the creative way, is to bring your presence to something in enough of a way that you can be awake to say, how can I make this more fun? How can I make this more interesting? What about this is amazing?
On that same line, I think I would go the appreciation route. Mm-hmm. And try to find a way to appreciate that. And
right.
I think there's many things that you say you can't appreciate that, but like dishes, you can appreciate that you had food to eat to dirty the dishes.
That you have a machine that washes them, or that you have warm water to wash them in with the trash. It's like that somebody actually takes my trash away every week. Like I don't have to pile it in my backyard, that I have the bags to hold them, that, you know, that I have these recycling bins, any of these things. Yeah. I think that's, and another Steve Chandlerism is to make it a game. Everything is more fun when it's a game. And he says, don't make it a problem, make it a project. So if the project is, how can I make, you know, doing the trash more fun? You're going to look out and see, how many birds can I find while I take the trash out? Or how many, you know, squirrels can I count? Anything to make it more fun, make it a game, because projects are always more fun than problems.
And you get to check something off the list.
Some people like that.
Yep.
Are you a list maker?
Nah, I don't think
so. It's funny you said that, because I do make lists and you don't.
Yeah, I'm like the mental list, like, ooh, I completed that. Like, I completed a task.
Mm-hmm.
But gotcha. I probably wouldn't make a list.
No. I love lists. I like to journal. And I actually just recently discovered a new journaling strategy. If I can explain it quickly, it's one of my most favorite creative tasks of the day. So I open up a journal page where I have a blank page on the left side, blank page on the right side. Is this making sense so far?
Please say it's not some random page in the book. It's in sequential order, right?
Maybe. Yeah, okay. With the journal, I generally do. On the left side, I write the...
some random page.
On the left side, I write the day, like Monday. And on the right side, I write the date. And then, such as like January 2nd, blah, 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 which I don't, that's wrong. But anyway, so then on the left side, I make the task list. And on the right side, I free write and journal. And I really do love the power of journaling. It helps me to be intentional about the kind of day I want to have. It helps me to have clarity around what happened, because I can flip back through and kind of check some things out, because, you know, hashtag mom life is crazy and you don't always remember things. So I love to have the left side to make lists. And sometimes I'll even make a to-do list, a to-done list. I'll make an idea list, a quote. So I'll just like write down quotes on that left side. And on the right side, it's like free writing. So like the whole page is darkened. I turn to the next page and I can keep doing that or start a new day. The left side is all the idea list, because sometimes when you're in the middle of free writing or journaling, or morning pages, if you will, which is one of my favorite books on creativity called The Artist's Way. She talks about writing 3 pages of longhand or freehand writing every day. If I'm doing that, I just sometimes get these ideas and I don't want them to be lost in the middle of a darkened page. And so I go over to the left page, the left side of the page, the back of the page, if you will, and I make lists over there. So that has been one of my favorite creative ways to maintain a journal. It's kind of like a combination of a bullet journal and a regular journal and a diary planner. So anyway.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
As a person that does not like writing per se.
Mm-hmm.
Or journaling, which I've started journaling a little bit. I kind of actually do like it. But
let's say you didn't, or one didn't.
But generally, I'm not going to sit down and write an essay or write something that's not something I enjoy doing.
Okay.
I think I heard someone say, or they were talking about, when you actually physically write something,
mm-hmm.
that it actually stores in a different part of your brain, and somehow it makes your brain think of it as real. So as you're writing, tomorrow I want to open a new business and blah, blah, blah. The fact that you physically wrote that, somehow your subconscious makes that real because you wrote it and makes it more valid? Or
yeah.
Have you heard that before? Or is that...
Maybe. I definitely have heard that once it's out of your head and onto the page, you can release it. You don't have to keep as much brain bandwidth or storage for that task or that
thought. It's not an idea. It's a physical. It became material somehow, yeah. Even though it's on paper, but it's an action.
Well, when it comes to, you know, setting goals for a new year or any time, I've definitely heard that people who set their goals are more likely to achieve than people who don't set goals. Then beyond that, people who set their goals and write them down are that much more likely to achieve it. So it ties in perfectly with what you're saying, which is that when you write something down, it solidifies it. It makes it real and it's more likely to be created.
And that is classified as creative, right? Journaling is creativity.
It's all creative, Timsy. Come on. But yes, that's definitely a straightforward, let's be creative. Let's be creative on purpose. Which ways of creativity are fun for me? Because I think we all are creative. I think that if you allow yourself the time and space to tap into it, you will find something fun to do that's creative, whether it's gardening, playing an instrument, drawing, writing, dancing, learning a foreign language is creative to me. Mm-hmm. Reading a book is creative because you're engaging in a story that someone else wrote. To me, there's so many things that qualify as creative. It's just more a matter of figuring out which ways, you know, are most fun for you. And I do think it's important to find those ways, because otherwise, and this might be a newer problem, but if we don't find these ways to create space for things that are fun for us, that allow for creative expression and growth, we might just get sucked into endless scrolling on our phone. And I just think it's important to point out, like,
it's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic.
These and new gadgets and social media. It's an epidemic.
Generally, this is where Timmy and I have differing opinions, because I just think that it's important to be mindful of the control that social media can have on our brain. The programmers behind the scenes at Facebook and whatnot.
Evil programmers.
Those evil programmers are using the same technology that they use in casinos to keep people addicted and glued to their phone. It's true. Quit laughing. I'm serious. So what we need to do, I'm not saying don't partake, or you could choose not to, but I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying be mindful of it. If you said you were going to start writing a book or a story or a poem or a song, or you're going to start learning French or Spanish or German, and you're not, and you're on your phone 7 hours a day, then maybe you want to take a look at why. And maybe you want to be more creative about how much time you allow yourself on your phone versus doing creative projects in the world.
So I can agree with part of that, because I've caught myself doing Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
It's addictive,
and
too.
And then go back to Twitter because I forgot I did Twitter to begin with. And then I'll go, I got to check my Instagram. And I get in this loop where I check all three platforms. Before I know it, it's morning time. And
I forgot to sleep.
I forgot to go to bed. No. But I understand that what you're saying, that's addictive. But I think awareness of it is, for me, I think should be enough. I think
it may be enough for you, but not a, maybe no, the other people have more highly, like, stop it. Maybe more people have more highly addictive personalities.
Change.
Watch, listen to the last episode for that. But okay, that might work for you, but some of us are not you, Tim.
No.
Some of us need other things besides just awareness.
No, I'm saying as a society, we need to be aware and talk about it. Yes, but like,
To demonize it.
That's what I'm looking for. Demonize everybody and say Facebook's out to get us and the Russians, and like, that's ridiculous.
No,
in my opinion, it's
okay.
Ridiculous.
Okay, with all due respect, that's the stupidest thing.
Shut up.
No, I just think it's important to understand that different personalities, you know, are different. Some people are more likely to be have more addictive personalities, and some people are more likely to have difficulty distancing themselves from that dopamine hit that Facebook creates with their little notification lights and such. So all I'm saying is bring some awareness to it and bring a little strategy. Like, what else would you love to do? This is the power of a really good question. What else would I love to do besides scrolling? What would I love to create? What will I wish I would have created when I'm 80 years old on my rocking chair? Everybody always puts the 80-year-olds in their rocking chair, by the way. 90, 110 in my rocking chair. What will I wish I would have created? And what could I create today that when I go to bed tonight, I will be so thrilled that I put my time into? Is it organizing your personal photography collection? Is it, reorganizing your craft cabinet so that you can make space for something that matters for you?
Sell scrapbook?
Is it scrapbooking? Yeah, people scrapbook. Okay. Is it, I don't know what it is for you, but for me, I'm encouraging you to create space for more creative living.
Thanks for listening, everybody.